Hello to Paul Green. He is in the studio at the Psychic Biker. Hello, how are you?
Hi, Carl. Fine. Bit wet. I forgot my jacket.
Well, this is a very interesting thing that you talk about because, you know, you see these programs on the TV and stuff like that, and these are the thing that I can sit down and sort of look at. And, you know, you think, oh, this would be... But I find myself engrossed into it for the whole of the programme.
Yeah, what you've got to remember, of course, I mean, we do paranormal psychic investigations, but what you see on TV may be 48 hours of film squeezed into an hour. If you don't try and jazz it up, if it's quiet, nothing happens, we say, nothing happened.
Well, then, what made you get into ghosts and paranormal activity in the first place, then?
Well, it's sort of come in two halves in my life, shall we say. When I was a kid... like many kids, you go into that sort of thing. And I had a few experiences which I now recognise were psychic. When I got to 20, I become a complete and utter, I can't say sceptic, I was probably a cynic. And then about 14, 15 years ago, I had to give up work to become a carer for my wife. So I went from working 90 hours a week offshore to being at home and not working 90 hours a week. And I think my head was going to explode. So somebody suggested meditation. And that's how it started. I started to meditate. Anybody who's tried it, no, it isn't that easy. You usually end up falling asleep or thinking what to have for dinner. But I persevered with it. I started to get strange experiences. Best way to put it is visions in your mind, eyes, smells, sound, tastes. So I started to research. And this initial part took about 15 months online, reading books, this sort of thing, about mediumship. But I was still a skeptic. I still didn't believe what was happening was anything that were paranormal, or even most of the mediums I saw in some of the churches I saw on TV were real. I was still trying to catch them out. Yeah. From there, I started to go to local churches, local spiritualist churches, which, if you look at me walking in, I'm a big bloke, heavily tattooed, shaven head. There was a few sort of white faces when I first walked in. But once I realised I was serious and I wasn't going to create havoc, they were quite friendly. I was invited into what's called a development class, which is run by, normally by a church, led by an experienced medium. And the commitment you make there is you're going to be there every week, regardless. You know, it's not something you can take lightly. And there's been no huge, big event that's led me to become convinced that what I do is real. Just a series of small, little things. Things I can't explain. I always look for a logical reason for an event. If for an investigation, the door slams, I'm not going to assume it's paranormal. I'll go and swing the door, I'll go and try and slam the door, I'll look for a draft, something like that. So that was the basic part of the paranormal, how I got into the paranormal as a medium. And then from there, certain TV show, which everybody knows about, Most Haunted, came on. Lots of just local people sprung up and started to have their own haunting group. And through the local paper at the time, a news post leader, I met a chap who wanted to do an investigation at the Waller Cinema in Blythe. Yeah. Which is interesting, both from a mediumship point of view and purely from the fact I used to go there when I was a kid. So it was great just to have a go. So that was our first investigation together, myself and Stephen Lambert, my business partner now. And from that, we developed a philosophy, shall we say, about the paranormal and ghost hunting, that we wanted to strip away all the gadgets you see so often and make it much more personal. And that was where the company Extreme Ghost Hunting come from in the book.
So, sounds very interesting, actually. Can you live, like, a normal life, or has your life changed connecting with the other side, as to say?
It's changed quite a bit, and to some degree it's been a period of actually convincing myself that not what I do is real, because I said the experiences, but to actually sit down looking like I do and talk about sometimes often spiritual things, not just paranormal things, was uncomfortable. It's something I'm still learning how to do. In terms of living as a medium, again, in development class, you learn techniques to what's called close you off. So you're not constantly walking around and standing in the queue and asking and tapping the woman on the front saying, I've got your dad here. You don't do that. It's unprofessional. Occasionally, even when I'm closed off, I was at a meeting recently with a company called Pyramid Media, who are actually doing a film where we're doing it Kiel at the end this month. A paranormal love story, in fact. And as I was sitting, talking to him, as I was talking to you now, I became aware of a man standing in the corner. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be his granddad. So even though I was locked off, when I go to a meeting, I don't go to work as a medium. Sometimes persistent devils come through. But it's something you learn to get used to, and you learn to the techniques to try and block some of the people who might try to get through constantly.
Well, all right. Well, Do you do investigations for somebody, say, phones you up, say, I think I've got
I mean, I've done several. Again, there's some in the book, but there was one quite recently. We call them the medium house clearances, which is probably the wrong term, because depending on what the energy is and the attitude or what the householder wants depends on what you do. To give you one example, we went to one near Amble. Usual stuff, noises on the stairs, kids talking to someone who didn't exist, dogs not being too happy barking at something they couldn't see. I went with a fellow meeting because you tend to work in twos, just in case anything affects you. And it turned out to be, I won't use names because it's very personal, I won't reveal, that the woman who lived there, she, from a previous relationship, had lost a child at birth, and it was her daughter. And we give the woman the name. Obviously, she was very tearful, very upset. Mm-hmm. But once she realised it was something not threatening, she said, fine, she can stay, just ask her to tone it down a bit. So that they still live together effectively in the house. Occasionally, the girl gets a bit boisterous and she gets wrong off her mum. Because that's what it is. And she sulks and sits there and gets on with it. Another case quite recently, which has been, came from the Sunday Sun, actually. They got in touch with me about a couple in Newbiggin Hall in Newcastle who were convinced there was something happening because their kiddie would wake up screaming, staring into space effectively. So they set up a video camera. And they sent me two videos, which they said were orbs. Now, even as a medium, I've got my doubts about orbs. Mm-hmm. Most of them, 99.99999%, are just dust on insects, flare, this sort of thing. And I basically said, that's what I can see. All I can see is orbs. I don't seem to see, logically, or feel as a medium anything threatening there. I was asked to go to the house. I did. A couple of Saturdays ago, we went there before we went to Waterstone to do a book sign, so it didn't have very long. And it was a grandma, basically. And she was perhaps a typical grandma. She was not going to be arguing with. But I convinced her to tone it down. The woman wasn't happy still. She didn't feel comfortable in her home. I honestly think most of us, perhaps, she convinced herself there was something wrong. And every knock, every time the baby woke up, it was paranormal. It was a ghost. But that's fine. You know, people do have these fears and you can't demean them. They are problems. And last time I heard, the Chronicle called me and said they were actually being agreed to move out the house. They were probably going to move a street away to the same size house. So it wasn't sort of getting priority or anything. So you get both sides. You get some people who just want this thing gone. So the people are saying, oh, it's nana, granda, uncle, whatever. I'm fine as long as I don't cause trouble. We don't do this to publicise it, to write about it, to report it. We just do it as my paying back to the paranormal community, shall we say.
All right. So what made you, what do you feel, actually, when you connect with the paranormal or the other side?
Every medium works differently in terms of how they utilise us. We still utilise the normal senses you have. But how it normally works with me is I first get a mental picture of the person who was trying to make contact. That actually is the hardest bit. I've got to try and describe to you somebody who could be your granddad you never saw purely by what I can see. Mm-hmm. Now that's, you try and do that in the living. But once, normally the way they do it, they show you something which will make a connection. It may be a favourite cardigan, it may be a particular way they had their sleeves rolled up, or a pipe, or a hat, or something that will identify themselves. And once they make that link, the information comes in dates, usually information about the family, the concerns the person who has died may have. People scab us off and say, why don't they come through and tell us, I'm Uncle Joe, I died then, the will's behind the sideboard, and by the way, you're rich. Yeah? But that's not the way it works. If you had a chance to contact a long lost or somebody you'd moved abroad with and spoken to for 20 years, you're going to want to catch up. You want to tell people what happened. You want to ask, why did they do that? Why did they move that sideboard? Why did they paint that wall? That looks stupid. And that's what they're doing. You know, you're just having a conversation with a person who just happens to be dead. But it's still a conversation.
Uh-huh. Yeah? Very, very interesting stuff. Are you ever afraid of what you actually get into when you're out ghost hunting?
Not so much now. I've been doing this a while. I have had a couple of experiences. One in the early days. In fact, in my very first development class, I didn't. What's called closed down, which I've mentioned before, and apparently brought a couple of energies home with me. 2 o'clock in the morning, lying in bed, obviously asleep, and two humongous bangs on our bedroom door. Leapt up, obviously half asleep, bouncing off furniture, outside, looking around, nothing. And, oh, yeah, it must have been wind or something. Next day, my son, who was a teenager then, said, so you've been in my bedroom, what have you been doing? And his sock drawer had been emptied, which wasn't, I wouldn't say it wasn't unusual, but I could perhaps find a rational explanation for it. But like many kids, he was into like being a goth. He had a huge, very heavy mirror on the wall. The mirror was on the floor, propped up against the wall. It hadn't fallen, the support hadn't given way, it hadn't come out the wall. It's so somebody had lifted off the wall and just quite nicely placed it there. Huh. I spoke to my teacher, Linda, from Lintonville, and she basically told me what to do, sorted it out, got rid of them. The other one was, again, Aquila Castle. It's a place we go to, or have gone to quite a bit. But basically, I was sitting down in the dark in the corridor with what is the cinema they used to show educational films about forestry, asking out, and two people filming it. And as I was asking out, I felt this energy charging towards me. The best way to describe it is if you are standing in the street and you see this large man heading towards you with an axe. You don't know why, you don't know what, but you know he isn't going to be friendly, you know what I mean? I started to stand up, and I started to stand up, the two guys watching me, they went, basically, they saw something. And they say that what happened was I was a surge of a black shadow came out the corridor and then over my head and surrounded me. This guy, as it turned out, was actually mainly his old bluff. It's a case of attack. It's the best form of defence. It wasn't that bad. But that initial, what this coming at me, was scary. It's the first time I've ever experienced that. The conclusion to that, actually, is when everything had calmed down, my friend went, I've got it. You shouldn't remember, he had a camera in his hand, a video camera. Yeah. So I rushed back to the base room, connected it up to the TV, plugged it in, he pressed play. He forgot to press record. I will never, to the day we die, forgive him for that. I still remind him.
Would you rather not be able to connect with like the other side of the paranormal?
Good question. Because we have the option, me and my wife, exceptional psychic medium, far better than me, but because you often get the emotions of the person coming through and pressed on you, she couldn't cope with that, she didn't like it. She couldn't shred them off like I can. So she has blocked herself off, not completely. Again, something persistent that will get through. So a question, I don't know, it's almost as though if you've done something for so long, you can't perhaps imagine it not being there. At times, it can be a bit of a nuisance. As I mentioned before, you're sitting in a business meeting, and somebody appears and goes, ooh, have a chat to him across the room. It's like, oh, I'm busy, yeah. But most of the time, it doesn't really intrude into my life. And if it does, I've learned how to both to handle it from a mediumship point of view and handle it from a tactful point of view. it wouldn't be professional to go and talk to everybody who you get a feeling about or sense something about. You just have to say thank you. It's not a good time. Sorry. Try somebody else. Next, that'll be another medium along in 10 minutes. Try them.
Yeah. Well, there's a question on here, actually. Apparently, I was in the bath. There was a knock on the door. There was everybody else was in bed. She or he jumped out of the bath, went out. It was like you know, with the sort of tapping on the door.
Well, for my first thing, was somebody was saying, get out of the bath when he's a loo, you know. It's very difficult to say because, as I said, I would always look for a logical reason. Mm. But in cases like that, where you can discount perhaps it's an old house, it's windy, it's happened before, it's tapping somewhere else, which sounds like it's coming from the door, that sort of thing. My usual response to that is try and make it happen again. Try and replicate the environment that happened again. If it happens again, and you can't find an explanation, then it starts to become interesting. Because it's just not a one-off event which you can't make happen again. That tends to be a bit hard to prove or disprove.
So you've got a book out, apparently.
Yeah, we've never sort of really planned as a search, but because people ask, the psychic bike, that's unusual, I look unusual. My friend, Stephen Lambert, who's called the Extreme Ghost Hunter, he formed that name, and I decided to write a book because our philosophy about ghost hunting, which is not a term I like, but it's a term the public come to expect, was quite same. So we started doing events up and down the northeast, Schooner Inn, Bebside Inn, Walla, or a few other places, and started to write about them. And then we wrote a couple of chapters about us and how we got to this stage in our life, and got some interest from the publisher. So we thought, why not? So we published it on the 4th of July, The Psychic Biker Meets the Extreme Ghost Hunter, and it's doing very well, and we've got another book in the planning, shall we say, and possibly a TV idea on the back of that. I won't reveal too much because it's a very competitive market, but it's more to do with the psychological effects of going ghost hunting for 10 days, 10 nights consecutively with no rest.
Tired.
You're not going to sleep.
Do you have any website?
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned I have my own personal website, but the company website is www.extremeghosthunting.com. We've also got fan pages on Facebook, and I've got my own fan page, and the Psychic Biker. You can come along, have a look, see what we do. You don't have to come to events. We have chats, we have debates, we have arguments. We try to help people. As I said before, people who have had problems in the house, email us private messages for Facebook, and we'll have a private chat with you and see if we can help.
I will go and buy that book, by the way. It sounds great, actually. Thank you for coming in, Paul.
Thank you.
It's been great, actually, yeah.
I've enjoyed it.
Into the
apart from the wet walk, yeah.